would encourage you to spend some time. People say they can't memorize. You can memorize. It might take you a couple years, but you can do it. We won't ask you the time frame. But let's read Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." All right, that is the Great Commission. And out of that, we created something known as our mission statement. And we've been talking about that for at least 3 weeks. So I know that you know that with me this morning. So we're going to do it from memory. Isn't that awesome? This is we have cameras watching whose lips are not moving. So we're going to get with you on that. So let's say as well as you can our mission statement. Pompey Community Church exists to meet people where they are and to help guide them to where God wants them to be by traveling together and becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the screen and see how well you did. Not too bad. Some of you, I noticed, were just moving. Todd, no names mentioned. I won't mention any names whatsoever. But we've been talking about the statement for 3 weeks. And all the different components that make it up. And I teasing a little bit, but I would encourage you to look at that and memorize. You know, in our work of our mission and vision and values, we probably are going to try to shorten things up. But if you remember, the mission statement is nothing more than a restatement within a local body of the Great Commission. It's what we are to be about as the church. And so we have been looking at all these different components. And the reason we've done that, because I want to make sure we understand what the statement means, as well as how it should affect everything that we do now and everything that we're planning on doing into the future. Because if we miss this target, then we're not doing what Jesus asks us to do. And I think there's consequences for that that we don't want to even have to deal with. And so we've been spending weeks doing this. And the disciples no longer here. Jesus pulls them together. He said, "Hey guys, final marching orders." Disciples have not been around for about 2,000 years. We are here now. We have the same commission, and we are told to go out and to do this. And the commission hasn't changed. The only thing that changed are the people who are responsible to carry it out. So, a little review about 4 weeks ago, we looked at the very first part of our statement. Pompey Community Church exists. And we said we had one purpose, and that one purpose is very loudly to make disciples. A disciple is nothing more than someone who is a follower, someone who wants to become like the person that they're following. We are to go about making disciples. So as we go about our life at work, in the neighborhood, in the store, we are to be looking for ways that God might use us and our story to help someone else understand how much God loves them. And the second part we looked at, we said that we will meet people where they are. And that means coming into our doors here at Pompey Community Church, but also as we're in the neighborhood. We are going to love people just for who they are. Far from Christ or those who are near Christ. There's no distinction. If someone doesn't know Jesus and they don't want to follow Jesus, we're told to love them anyway. We're told to love because we want to be like Jesus. And we want people who come in our doors to know that they're loved no matter what they believe. And I want us to be known as a church who loves the unlovely. And sometimes that might be us. We need help loving each other, right? We want to be known for a church of unconditional love no matter what they do or what they believe. And that scripture tells us very clearly that people will know that we're his disciples. How? By the love that we have one for another. And so let's be the best lovers of people that we can possibly be. Last week we looked at, we looked at guiding them to where God wants them to be. We would love people enough to let them know that even where they are with what they believe, that God has a desire for their life. And we believe, based on what God's Word says, that God desires to be in a relationship with every single person that He created in His image. He wants to have a relationship with them. We're very clear that we've all fallen short. I have never met anybody who has never admitted to me that they've not sinned. That's the word the scripture used. People don't like that, but we've all sinned and we've fallen short. And because of that, we don't stand in the right place to be with God. But God in his great love and mercy said, I'm going to take care of that. I'm sending my son Jesus to die on the cross. And I give you the opportunity to receive that for yourselves. No one will ever force you or make you to come into faith. And God makes it possible by giving us forgiveness. And when we make Christ the forgiver of our lives, which is our Savior, and the leader of our life, which is our Lord, something happens in our lives. And we become new creations, which we'll talk about in just a little bit. So we come to the very, very last part of our statement, which is by traveling together and becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. The traveling together part is kind of like what Don said. Man, it's an awesome thing when we all do our parts. When we're all serving and coming alongside, it's a beautiful thing. The goal, though, is to become a fully devoted follower of Christ. Now, that's quite a high standard. I'd like to see the hands of all those who are 100% fully devoted followers of Christ. Yes. Yes, that means we all have work to do. That makes me feel good because that means we're all in good company. We're not there yet. We can all work together at that. So the truth is that God's not done with us. And when I take a look at my life and I look at the things that I'm still working on and the things that only a few people know about me in my life, I'm not done yet. And God is still working. And my list is probably different from your list, but we all have a list. And God wants us to continue to grow. And I'm sure we could list it out in the refrigerator right next to the honey-do list, and we can continue to work on both those lists together. So that's why in our statement, I like the word becoming. We're not there automatically. And sometimes we grow and we do really well, and then sometimes we take a couple steps back. We are in the process of becoming more of who Jesus wants us to be. And so we don't expect perfection. We expect progress. And there's a big, big difference when it comes to that. And so we are all traveling on the same path, all at different places, but all with the same goal of becoming mature believers that Jesus wants us to be. This is how Paul said it in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. He is the one we proclaim, and that's Jesus, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. The same word could be used there for perfect. Fully mature, and that's what we're progressing toward. That's the goal. The word perfect doesn't mean without doesn't mean flawless. It means mature or complete. And that's the goal, my goal as well as yours. And the idea of traveling together is we need each other's help. I need your help. You need my help. I need those who have walked the path before me, and I need to be there for people who are behind me still. And that's the cool thing when we come together as the church. Everyone needs some encouragement. And so our goal is to become a fully devoted follower of Christ. What does that mean? Well, we're going to look at four different ways that we could describe that. A fully devoted follower of Christ is someone who knows Christ, grows in Christ, serves Christ, and shares Christ. And we'll look at each one of those. And you can take a look at your own life and where you are in each of these and say, hey, maybe I can get just a little bit better. All right, first, fully devoted follower of Christ, someone who knows Christ. And one of the things I've been saying for the last few weeks is that we're all on this journey. We're all at different places. We're all checking out the claims of Christianity. And some people are coming here who have never come to faith yet. And they're checking out, what does it really mean? Can I believe this gospel? Can I really believe these people who call themselves Christians are what they really say they are? And so we've got people who are fully devoted, you know, who are walking toward it. We got other people who aren't just there yet. And so I think we need to be very careful when we come in and realize that. There are some people also who come to church who have been in the church all their life. They think they know everything you're supposed to know. They've heard the story. They know the story. But like we said last week, Jesus said when it comes to the judgment day, there will be some who discover that their religious knowledge and their religious activity did not gain them into God's acceptance. And so it's very important that we know with certainty where we are when it comes to our standing in faith with Christ. So how do we know the difference? When we receive by faith the gift that God offers to us, the scriptures tell us that there's a spiritual transformation that we have nothing to do with in our lives. There's something that the Holy Spirit does, and it says that He makes us brand new, some translations say creatures, brand new creatures, brand new creations in Christ. And we looked at this. It's probably one of my favorite verses, along with any verse that talks about peace. But 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. The moment you come to faith, you are brand new. Now, as you walk along in your faith and you become more like Christ, things change, which is really exciting. But there's something brand new that takes place. We're not the same. The old is gone, even though our patterns, you know, we've got those patterns that sometimes I call it rearing up their ugly head, but he makes us new. Christians are brand new people. He gives us brand new lives. And I think this is Rick Warren who said this. I'm not quite sure. But he says, Christians are not reformed. They're not rehabilitated. They're not re-educated. They are recreated. They are recreated. And, you know, you can't really see that by looking on the outside. But you can watch a life that gets changed and see what happens there. Now, that sounds pretty awesome. All of a sudden, I take who I was, my shame and my guilt and my sin, and the punishment that I deserve to take care of that sin. And in return, God gives me his love and he gives me his forgiveness. That sounds like enough. Maybe at that point I would just stop. But think about that. Think about that in comparison to any other relationship that you have. It's not enough just to be able to start the relationship and then stop. October 13th, 1980, back in the year of our Lord, 1984, I married my wife, Marianne Fall. That'll be 34 years. What if I said that was it? The day I said, Marianne, I love you. I choose you to be my wife, and there's nothing more for me to do. Thank you. What would my relationship look like? It wouldn't be so good. It wouldn't be so good at all. And it really is the same with our relationship with God. Many people maybe come to faith in Christ and then never do anything to grow in that relationship. God desires us to continue to grow. And so, yes, he gives us new life. But the next thing he wants us to do, he says, I want you to develop that and to grow it. And that's the second point. A fully devoted follower of Christ is someone who grows in Christ. So you come to faith, but you don't stop there. You grow. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians chapter 2. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, that was the beginning, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. This is something I didn't have written down, but when you stop being thankful, boy, you better really take a look at what's going on. We have so much to be thankful for. The beginning for a devoted follower of Christ is to accept him as your Lord and your leader. But that's the beginning. You look at verse 6 in that verse we just read. It says to continue to live in obedience to him. How do you know what you need to obey if you don't do something more? Then in verse 7 it says you are to grow in your faith. I think a lot of us maybe are content. Come to church on Sunday. I know I accepted Christ back in 1981. And I've got my punishment taken care of, but there's so much more to it. He wants us to grow. He never wants us to stop. So with a changed heart should come a changed life. I know I've used this illustration in the past, but how many of you have seen at least 30 times the show, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas? At least 30 times. If you haven't, I have the DVD. You can borrow it from us, and you can watch it right during the summer. It's awesome. Back in our day, you had to wait till Christmas time. But remember what happened. You remember something was wrong with the Grinch. He had a very small, what was it? Heart. He had a very small heart, and he hated Christmas. He hated it. He hated Christmas and everything about it. And he goes into town, he steals all the presents. And he's sitting up on the cliff, the sleigh is getting ready to go, and all of a sudden he hears something. He hears some beautiful music. And I thought about it this morning. I was going to hum it, but now I'm choking, so I won't hum it. And you are blessed because of that. But he hears that music. And all of a sudden, something starts to take place. And they show a little x-ray. And what do we see on the x-ray? His heart starts to expand. And his heart gets bigger and bigger and bigger. His heart was transformed. Now, I'm not saying the Grinch was saved. I know there's a little bit of a leap there. But isn't that the picture of what happens when we come to Christ? All of a sudden, our hearts are so small, and it starts to grow, and it's changed. God changes it. But it can't just stop there. What we see, what happens with the Grinch, all of a sudden he goes, oh no, Those children, who children don't have their gifts? So not only was his heart changed, his behavior was changed. He changed his behavior and he grew. And he does everything he can. And I wrote down, I should read it. It says, the Grinch steals all the presents. Something mysterious happens. Do you remember what it was? His heart changed. It grew. And here's what it says. His eyes grow warm and soft and as big as saucers. And suddenly he throws himself to the ground, convulsing as his heart grows 3 times the size it was before. He laughs. He cries. He claims to feel all toasty inside. Unfamiliar with tears, he thinks he's leaking, while a brilliant shaft of sunlight bathes his green face and reveals a sincere smile. But then it dawns on him that the stolen gifts are about to slide off the mountain and be destroyed. And for the first time, he actually cares. Transformed, he risks his life to keep the gifts from falling from the precipice. The Grinch's changed heart is matched by changed behavior. And you know what? That's what God wants for us. Not just to know Christ, but allow that knowledge to change us, to help us to grow, to become more like Him. He wants us to grow. Listen to the instructions that Paul gives us in Romans 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We need to have our mind transformed. And that is an active process. That means we need to allow God to do it. We need to start asking Him to do that. And we need to be in His Word. Oh, there He said it again. Wendell's always talking about reading the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Little bit by little bit. Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." How do you live? By the Word of God. We need a steady diet of it. Spending time alone in God's Word is essential for those who want to grow in Christ. I don't know where to read. Come see me. I'll tell you where to read. I'll get you going. I don't have a good Bible. We'll give you a Bible. I don't know what version. Ask us. We'll tell you. What other excuses? Let me hear a few more. I'm going to take care of them right now. Read God's Word. God wants us to grow. Remember in the very early church, Acts 2:42, the church came together. What did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's why the church grew, because they did that. And if we do the same, we'll become more the people of God that He wants us to be. So we need to know Christ. We need to grow in Christ. The third point of a fully devoted follower of Christ is someone who serves Christ. Someone who uses the skills and abilities that they have and their talents and their resources. I think very closely linked with the value of love is the importance of servanthood. Out of our love for others will come the desire to serve them with our gifts. Jesus modeled it for us. If there was anybody who didn't have to serve anybody, it was Jesus. And we know exactly what He did right before He left His disciples. In John 13, He says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet." Most meaningless of tasks there was. He wraps a towel around His waist like an apron, humbled Himself by preparing to do a task that was normally designed for a servant. The one that was least compelled to do a duty like that was the first to eagerly volunteer and said, "I'm going to wash your feet." In our society, that doesn't go really far, does it? We look for ways that we can up ourselves just a little bit. Let's get up the ladder a little more. Let's make sure we're known as, I'm the pastor of the church. You know, somebody talks about the church. I got to make sure people know I'm the pastor because I'm right up there. I'm so important, right? I'm the CEO of the company. I'm whatever. Jesus didn't care about any of that. He wanted to serve. We worry what people might think of us, and Jesus didn't care. He wanted people to see that He was a servant. So as fully devoted followers of Christ, we should be looking for ways to serve one another in the body. And we have a wonderful ministry, Christ Servants in Action, that Lynn oversees with so many people that she tells stories after story of what they're doing to serve our body. We are blessed by that ministry and by Lynn's leadership and all those that are part of that with her. We also want to serve our community. We want people to know that we love them by the things that we do. We want to be ready to wash dirty feet, no matter what that looks like. And it's going to take all of us doing it. It can't just be a few of us. It's going to take all of us. Alone, we can never do the things that God wants us to do. If you think about it, it's all we have is from God. And all God wants us to do is be willing to be able to use it to make a difference in the lives of people. It's going to take money. It's going to take your skills. It's going to take time. And the question, are you a servant in your community? Are you a servant in the church? you need to be if you want to be a fully devoted follower of Christ. Finally, one last thing. A fully devoted follower of Christ is someone who shares Christ with others. A fully devoted follower is not someone who beats the gospel over somebody's head. A fully devoted follower of Christ is not someone who screams for a bullhorn, telling them all the evil things about their lives. Most people already know that. A fully devoted follower of Christ is someone who shares Christ because you want them to know how much he loves them. Ephesians 6, Paul says, pray also for me. Remember, this is Paul, the apostle, that whenever I speak words may be given me so that I will fearlessly, which means there's probably some fear in there for him, I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul was afraid. Every one of us probably feel a little uncomfortable when it comes to how do I share what I know about Jesus. Well, Paul just said he prayed. That's one thing we can do for each other, pray that we won't be afraid. If I ask you, how do you feel about it? When I say, hey, when's the last time you shared your faith? You feel a little maybe scared with it? I don't try it because I don't know what to share. If we are going to be the fully devoted followers of Christ, we need to be sharing our faith. We need to let people know. And all you need to do is share your story of what Jesus has done for you. Of course, last week we looked at all those verses you could memorize and have some to let them know about God and about us and Jesus and all those things. But if you just share your story and you love people, guess what? It'll make a difference. People want to know more about you. You haven't got to scream at them. You need to love them. Love them and tell them your story. Jesus selected his 12 disciples and he trained them. He sent them out to teach others. And that's now our job, to teach others about who Jesus is and what he's done. We want to be a church of fully devoted followers of Christ to make a difference, to let people know how much God loves them. We spent 4 weeks looking at it. We could say, boy, nice message. That's great. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do to make sure that we are living out the church and being the church that God wants us to be? Would you please pray about what your role is? Would you make sure that you know him? Would you make sure that you're growing in him? Would you make sure that you're going to be sharing him and not be used? So would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you for Pompey Community Church. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you what you want to do, and help us to all do our part. Lord, I pray that we would love people enough to let them see the gospel, let them know that you love them, and then allow them to make the choice they want to. It's really what you've allowed, Lord. You've given us that ability. So as we go from here, help us to be light for you. Help us to enjoy all that we have. Be mindful of those who don't have much. And Lord, I pray a blessing on our time with the Chapmans. May it just be a special time, and bless them again. We love you. And the whole church said together, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great, great day. Lord bless you.